Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It is good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. Before I begin bringing the word of the Lord, where are the men who are playing the new brothers? Have they already left? Oh, they've gone? Okay. I wish I had a chance even to introduce them to you. Amen. Are you blessed to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Are you blessed to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. I'm excited to be in the house of the Lord. And the Lord has been good to me. He has protected me. He has sheltered me. And I can confidently say that I have seen the hand of the Lord move in my life. Amen. And I have the joy of the Lord in my heart. I want us to open our Bibles into the book of Ezekiel chapter number 37. Ezekiel chapter number 37. And as you open up the word of the Lord, I want you to turn to your neighbor. The person sitting in front of you is the person sitting beside you. I want you to tap them on the shoulder. Tell them it is a nice day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Okay, how many of you are in the book of Ezekiel chapter number 37? Not number 7, but 37. Somebody who found it, can you say amen? Amen. All right. We can read actually from the screen if you don't have a Bible. We can read from the screen. Last week I started a series that I wish to continue about experiencing divine revelation divine revelation of the Lord in situations that we face. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel chapter number 37 verses 1, "And now the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out of his spirit and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones." Somebody say full of bones. Okay, let's continue. "He led me all around them, and there were a great many of them on the surface of the valley. And they were very dry." Somebody say very dry. And verse number 3. "Then he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I replied, Lord, only you know this." And then verse number 4, the Bible says, "And he said to me, prophesy concerning these bones, and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Verse number 5. This is what the Lord God says to these bones. "I will cause breath to enter you, and you will live." And verse number 6, it says, "I will put tendons on you, make flesh grow on you, and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you so that you can come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." Praise the Lord. Verse number 7. "So I prophesied as I had been commanded. While I was prophesying, there was a noise." Somebody say there was a noise. "A rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone." Verse number 8. "As I looked, I saw tendons appearing on them. Flesh grew and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. He said to me, prophesy the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Say to it, this is what the Lord God says. Breath, come from the four winds and breathe into this slain." In other words, breathe into this dead
skeletons of these dead bodies that are risen up, so that they may live. And verse number 10, the Bible says, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath entered them, and they came to life, and they stood on their feet, and it was a vast army. Praise be to God. And verse number 11, let me see verse number 11. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Look how they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope has perished. We are cut off. In other words, we've been disconnected. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the Lord God says, I am going to open up your graves and bring you up from them, my people, and lead you into the land of Israel. You will know that I am the Lord, my people, when I open up your graves and bring you up from them. Oh, hallelujah. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it. This is the declaration of the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse number 15. Let me see verse number 15. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man. Okay. Let us get up to number 14. Praise be to God. Now, for some of you who are here, last week we began to speak on a topic whereby God creates situations in our lives so that he can reveal himself in us. And I wish to continue from where I left last time. And I believe that not only are you going to be ministered, but you, I pray and I hope that the Lord will reveal this word in a mighty way in your heart, the way he has been revealing it to my spirit this last about 3 weeks. And as I've been digging into the scriptures, I have come to realize this one thing, that the Lord God is so loving and he's so caring. And when he came here on earth, he walked with his disciples day in, day out, and he taught them how to do ministry. And a time comes where he has to be taken to Golgotha, and all of you know, and he is led to the cross, to the cross of Calvary, where he dies. But the Bible tells me after he was in the grave for 3 days that he came back to life. And he showed up amongst his disciples and other people, and some of them could not recognize who he was. Praise be to God. In one instance, in the book of John, I believe chapter number 21 or number 20, Mary Magdalene comes into the grave. And when she comes into the grave, she is sorrowful, and she just experienced the torment that took place at the place called Golgotha. She experienced how they whipped Jesus. She experienced how Jesus was tortured. She experienced, since she saw with her own eyes Jesus carrying the cross towards the mountain called Golgotha. And as she so experienced the whole episode, it was a grueling episode and a scenery to her. And she sees Jesus just taken out of the cross of Calvary and put up in the tomb. And I was thinking about how she spent her night that day. And I don't believe even one iota whether Mary Magdalene and many among others who experienced the death of Jesus on the cross, whether they had any sleep. And in the morning, she couldn't wake up. She couldn't wait for the morning to come up. She rises up in the morning, and on the third day, she goes up to the grave and she runs and finds that there was an empty tomb. And as she experiences the agony and the loss of her Messiah, Jesus appears to him, to her. And as Jesus appeared to her, Mary could not even recognize Jesus. And the Bible says that Mary thought that she was, that Jesus was a gardener. Praise be to God. And she's just worried. She tells this gardener, she tells this man who she thinks is a gardener, they have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where to find him. Jesus called on her name. And the moment Jesus called on her name, she recognized who Jesus was. Praise be to God. In this day and time, the Bible says in the book of John chapter number 10, and the sheep shall know my voice. Hallelujah. I will be the sheep. I will be the shepherd for the sheep, and the sheep shall know my voice. Praise be to God. When we know when we are acquainted with the Lord, there is a way God is able to reveal himself when he speaks to our spirits. Praise be to God. When the spirit, the life-giving spirit of the living God shares a witness with my spirit, I'm able to know among many other voices that I hear that that is the still voice of the Lord. Glory be to Jesus. Sometimes, God, we might be walking together with the Lord, but we may fail to recognize that the Lord is with me. Praise be to God. Jesus Christ walking down, some two men walking down through Emmaus, whatever you call the city, and they're also in anguish. They're in a situation of despair, and they're talking about how they crucified, how they got hold of Jesus, and how they led him to the cross, and then they're filled with anguish and with the despair and kind of a sign of surrender. They didn't know what to do. And as they are talking, as they walk alongside the road, Jesus joined them. But the Bible says that they do not recognize that it was Jesus who had joined them in the conversation. And as they continue to walk and as they continue to share, and they continue to invite him into this conversation, and they don't even recognize that this was the Jesus who a few days ago was beaten on the cross, as now has come into life. And they are going through the process, and they get to a place whereby they have to recite for the night, and they invite Jesus, you know, on the table. Oh, you cannot proceed now. You have to join us on the table. You need to have a meal before you can go your way. Now, the Bible says that immediately they started eating, Jesus broke the bread. Praise the Lord. When he broke the bread and shared a cup with them, suddenly their eyes were opened up. Glory be to Jesus. The Bible says that he is the bread of life. Praise be to God. Every time the word also is, that in the beginning, the Bible says in the book of John, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God. So the bread of life is the word of God. When Jesus begins to share himself to these people, suddenly their eyes are opened up. Now, notice what happened. That in all these situations that we read, there is a sign of despair among the people who are going through this kind of a turmoil in their hearts. There is agony. And there is some sort of despair, a sign of surrender. Remember when Jesus also, the disciples, you know, had gone through so much, you know, after Jesus Christ is crucified and after he's revealed himself and after he has gone through so much, you know, there's so much that has taken place within the disciples. Jesus is led to Golgotha. They have just lost their Messiah, and everything seemed to be going haywardly. And suddenly the disciples decided, you know what? It is time for us to go fishing. And so they gathered together, the Bible says, and they went and started fishing. And the Bible says that the whole night, they toiled for the whole night without catching nothing. And so in the morning, I can see these disciples. They were so weary, and they were so desperate, and they were so tormented. You know, in the backdrop, there was the issue of their Messiah who had just been killed. And here they are. They are trying even to make a living, and there's nothing that is coming forth. And on the shore, while they were deep in the sea, a stranger, the Bible says, somebody who they thought was a stranger, called and said, "Hey, you guys! Can you put your nets on the right-hand side of your boat?" And I can see this guy say, "Now, what is that man saying? We are professional fishermen. We've been in the sea the whole night. We know where we normally get the heaviest catch. And who is this man who has come from nowhere? Who is he to tell us to put our nets on the right-hand side of the boat? And let me tell you, immediately as they obeyed the word of the Lord, the Bible says that they were able to hold a catch their nets were breaking down. They had not recognized the man they thought was a stranger, but immediately their situation was alleviated. Immediately there was a miracle. They looked and now they saw, oh, that must be the Messiah. And if you remember the story, Peter just jumped up into the swim because he was without clothes. And he was so embarrassed. Remember what happened? Jesus revealed himself when he came into their situation. Praise be to God. As we saw last Sunday, many times we agonize. Nobody wants challenges. Nobody wants to be in a hard time. But whether we like it or whether we don't like it, challenges is part of this life. And it is one of the ways where God uses the challenges that we go through to reveal himself in us. Praise be to God. I would be a foolish person. I would be so foolish if I would see you going through a certain situation and I would start laughing at you and I would start mocking at you, because you never know. If I would see you going through a situation, let me tell you, I would tell God, give me the grace so that I may stand with my sister, so that I may stand with my brother, so that I may sow seeds of intercession, because in the near future, I might be in the same situation. Glory be to God. Let me tell you, church, whenever you see a brother, whenever you see a sister, whenever you see a person in a deep situation, in a quagmire of some sort whereby they are not able to distinguish where they are, or they are not able to tell where to go, whether to go back, where to go in front, they are deep into a situation. Let me tell you, church, that is the time to tell God, let me sow a seed of intercession so that I may stand with my brother, so that I may stand with my sister, because you don't know what is beyond the horizon. Because whether you like it or whether you don't like it, there must be something waiting for you beyond the horizon. And let me tell you, church, when you are in a situation, when you are in that kind of a situation, sometimes you're not even able to pray. Sometimes you're not even able to tell the directions from where to go, where not to go. But you need somebody to stand with you in prayer so that your inner eyes may see the Lord in that situation. Are you listening to me, church? There's some instances when we go through dead things and our visions. We planned everything and we lined up everything. We organized our budget. But how many of you know that not every plan that you've ever mooted in your life succeeded? Sometimes you organize everything. You lay out a financial plan. But down the road, something happens that comes to distort or to destroy the plans that you lay down for your life. And something just happens. And as I was telling you last Sunday, we are just surrounded within a perimeter whereby we are able to operate within a certain ability. There are certain things that you don't need to invoke. I know it's God. God gives us the ability to do even the mundane things like picking up your spoon and eating from a plate. You know, you don't need any grace. You don't need any faith to pick up your spoon and get it on the plate and eat it. But God still provides that. Praise be to God. But it reaches a time whereby the same parameters where we operate, we need an intervention or a revelation of a divine being so that he can come and help us articulate certain things. For example, your child might be sick. Your spouse might be sick. You cannot heal them by your power. Glory be to Jesus. There is a problem in your marriage. Are you listening to me? Oh, glory to Jesus. There might be a situation in your job whereby there are people who are going behind the scenes trying to get you fired. And your effort to be humble has not yielded any results. You need an intervention from a higher being. Is somebody listening to me? Glory be to Jesus. But you're still under the operation of the perimeters where God has put you. And so if you do not invoke the higher being, you might find yourself in situations whereby you're despairing and you're beating up the air because you do not know where to go. But when you know that God is walking with you, oh hallelujah, you can dare any situation because there is nothing which is impossible with our God. Oh, glory be to Jesus. I am tired of people who put limits to people. I am tired of people who say that I cannot achieve this. I'm tired of people who say, do not go out there. Do not attempt this thing because it will never happen to you. Who said it will never happen? With God, all things are possible. Are you listening to me? Glory, 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 glory to Jesus. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I feel it in my spirit right now. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. There was a situation recently, and I told you a bit of what is happening. And we put our house in the market. I hope you don't get tired, me telling you these stories, but they mean so much to me. And we put our house in the market like on a Monday. Thursday, the house was gone. We didn't even expect it. Monday, Thursday, the house was gone. That was the favor of the Lord. And we actually had to go to the people that sold the house to be tenants for them. Actually, we've been tenants now. We've been renting the house from them. And I said, I never expected this. And we started looking from house to house. We've been going, I think we've knocked about 200 homes by now. And every time at home we go, Catherine says, oh, at one time I remember she said, oh, this is the one. I don't know what happened when she slept over the night. In the morning she told me, I don't have a heart for that house. Some of you who have been in the experience of looking for a house, you know what, especially if you involved your spouse. And at one time I told her, you know, now you go with the realtor. As long as you find a house, I don't care how it looks like and you like it, tell me. I'll go and I'll authenticate it and I'll like it. And let me tell you, it got to a point whereby they were asking me documents after documents after documents. And I thought at one time, oh God, I'm not even going to qualify. And I started telling God and I started complaining before the Lord. Why did you allow this house, my house, to go so fast now? I have to pay I'm paying more rent than I was paying my mortgage. And everything looks like it is upside down. And we started looking into the house, and at one point, they said, oh, you can only qualify. Listen to me. Let me tell you. My God, this is very delivering for some of us. I know some of you have everything gotten to go okay. But if I'm speaking this message to one person, it is good. At one time, they told me, oh, you know what, Pastor Tony, you can only qualify for this kind of a house right here. And when we looked into the market, actually, the houses that fell under that category were not even better than the house that we were living in. So I said, what is all this? But let me tell you, it is good to have a praying spouse and a believing spouse more than you. Did you hear what I said? It is good when you are down, let one spouse or some partner in your home, whatever it is, it might be a child, might be somebody who lives with you. It is better to have somebody who is somehow connecting up in the spirit when you're down, because let me tell you, you would need them when you're down. And at one time I just said, it just resigned within my spirit. I said, God, why did you allow this house to go? Maybe it was not even in your will for this house to go. Now I cannot even get a house. Where am I going to take my family? We had told everybody that we are going to move and all that. And we finally cut a long story short. My mortgage people give me a lot of hullabaloos. Bring this, bring the other, bring the other. I said, oh God, this is just too much. Listen, suddenly, while my wife, I think with my daughter, they were walking, looking for a house. They saw one house that was under foreclosure. Under foreclosure. Now, when they went into this house, it had everything Miss Catherine really liked. You know? It had everything. The kitchen, everything. And when I went there, I thought this is exactly what she's been telling me she likes. And I said, okay. But now there was a problem. They said, you have to get into a bid. There are people who are bidded into this house. You have to bid because it's a HUD house. You know how HUD house, there's a government-run house. You have to bid for this house. That's why I said, bidding? This is like some kind of a blackadabla. You know, it's like a gambling. So I said, God, have you not said gambling is not really allowed? So I told my wife, no, I don't think we need to do this. But my wife said, this is not lottery. This is the way they do it in order for you to get the house. So I said, but this is just so complicated. Now, I think she communicated with the realtor, and the realtor called me and said, you need to give me your name, social security, and blah, blah, blah. So I said, okay, let me give it to her. Let me tell you, as long as the Lord God lives, she calls me the next day, and she told me, among all the other people that put the bid on this house, you got it. Do you want me to tell you the price per foot per house? That will be another story that I'll continue next time. In other words, everything has begun to line up. And now this mortgage person, and Julius, by the way, Julius, thank you, sir. This man you see here. Can you appreciate Minister Julius? You need to have men in the house who can really hold you when you're going down. Because I didn't know what letter they needed. Julius is the one who does my taxes. They are needing this. W7, I think W8, whatever. I told Julius, please help me. You're the only one who can help me. So, cut a long story short, my realtor told me, ditch your old mortgage people and assign a new realtor. When I called the new realtor, you know what he told me? It was, let me tell you, it was 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. She told me, forward all the emails that you have sent to those people. Within 30 minutes, somebody say 30. He sent me what I'd waited for 1 month to get a qualification letter. I called Julius. I told him, believe it or not, this guy sent me a letter saying, you've been qualified. Is that not God? Let me tell you, do not submit yourself to somebody who says that you cannot do. And when you think that you have come to the end of yourself, look for somebody who can believe with you. That's why I'm saying it would be foolish when I am down if I don't find somebody in this house to stand with me. Because in the horizon, there is something awaiting for you. And you will need me, and I will remember that you stood with me. And when you're going through a situation, I will hold you dearly. Glory be to Jesus. Are you listening to me, church? Jesus reveals himself through situations. And Ezekiel, you've all read in the book of Daniel. You've read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How they were picked up among the tribes of Israel, and they were held captives by King Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know whether you ever put this thought that Ezekiel was among the elite of the children of Israel that were taken captive by King Nebuchadnezzar. And so as he is held captive, he is a prophet. And so when he is a prophet, he is able to see the agony of the children that have been already taken captive. And you remember, like in Psalms 137, they say, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? They were really under torment. They were really subjected to hardship. And they were at a point whereby we cannot even celebrate the kingdom of our God. But let me tell you, in the most dissenting situations, God raises a remnant. God raises a voice. God will raise himself a voice, because he will not allow you, child of God, to go down because he has paid a hefty price on you. Listen to me, church. God will allow you to go to the very lowest point whereby when you look at where you are and when you look at where you're supposed to be, you'll be looking at yourself and you're desperate. But hear the word of the Lord Empowerment Christian Center, that God will not allow you to be at the lowest point whereby you're not recoverable. Did you hear me? God will not allow you to be at a very low point. He sure knows that you're at a low point. But that low point where you have given up, God knows that. God looks at you and he says, he is still recoverable. You might be looking at a dead vision. It is still recoverable. You might be looking at a dead dream. But God says it is still recoverable. You may have put the flowers on that sepulcher. But God says, I can still recover it. Are you listening to me, church?
it is still recoverable. He will take you to a very low point, to a point whereby you will know that when I came out, when you come out of that situation, you will know that were it not for God, I will never be where I am. Are you listening to me? I don't care how far, how low you have gone. It might be in your finances, whereby when you send a check, it comes out return check, and the bank hits you with a $35. I am telling you what, I've not been there. When you send a check, things happen so quickly, and before you know it, you have a four insufficient funds hitting your bank like coming in like a flood. And you're looking at the left, and you're looking at the right, and your resources seem to be drying up, Brother William. At that point, God is speaking something. At that point, God wants to reveal. He is creating a situation in your life so that he can show up as a Jehovah Jireh, the Lord your provider. Are you listening to me? What situation are you going through? You may have given up. You may have been looking at it like this, and you're giving up. You're giving up the towel. My voice to you is like a voice in the wilderness crying out to you and telling you, do not give up, because there is nothing which is impossible with our God. Are you listening to me? There is nothing which is impossible. There is nothing which is impossible with the Lord. He takes you to a low point so that when you know that you are in this point, you're trying to cry out to your friends. They might have even give up on you. They might be laughing out at you. But God says, this is the time that I'm supposed to jump in and come and reveal myself unto you. Glory. And when I reveal myself unto you, everything will be A-okay. When Mary knew that this was the Messiah, notice that she never said a word. Even though she said a word, she ran back and took the information to spread the gospel about Jesus Christ. She was renewed. She was healed. Praise be to God. Are you listening to me, church? When the disciples caught the biggest catch, they knew this was the Messiah, and their faith was revitalized. And so Ezekiel saw the torments of the children of Israel. And they were saying, our lives is like dry bones. We don't even have a hope to go back to Israel. We don't even have a hope to go back to the tabernacle. We don't even have a hope to go and worship our God the way our forefathers taught us to do it. We are here just subjected to this hard labor. But Ezekiel was a voice that they needed at the time. And he said here, and God took him with a spirit to a valley of dry bones. The Bible says that the valley, every time you read about the valley, it is a place of desperation. What did the Psalm 23 say? Huh? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me to lay in green pastures and leads me to still waters. And verse number 4, what does it say? Yea, even though I go through the valley of death, I will fear what? I will fear no evil. In the valley there is evil. Let me tell you, if you didn't know, God, the devil's plan is to disorganize your defense plan. Do you hear that? The mission of the devil, we know, is threefold. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And among those three facets, that's the mission of the devil. It is to destroy your defenses. He knows that when your financial defense is destroyed, it will rob you of God's vitality. You now will not come to church. You now will not relate with other believers, because you will need to go to work so that you can make up for what he has destroyed. You hear me, church? The plan of the devil is to destroy the defenses of your relationship in your family, because he knows that whenever you are in non-communication thing with your wife, your prayers will be hindered. That's what the Bible says, that we treat you with care, that husbands treat them with care, because your prayers might be hindered. So every time the devil looks for opportunities so that he may come and separate and distort the relationship that exists between you so that your prayers may be hindered. He might bring something else. He might bring just out of the blues somebody to just say that you did something at work so that you can be fired. Be aware of these things. He is up to destroy your defenses. And so the Spirit of the living God brings Ezekiel into a valley that is full of dry bones. I want you to see this valley. This valley is full of dry bones. In the olden times, what they used to do, they used to fight. And if you read the Chronicles, and if you read the Exodus, how the children of Israel would attack a certain army, they would kill them, they would rob them of their swords and everything, and they would never bury the dead. They would leave them somewhere on the valley, and about maybe 15,000, 30,000 people would just die. And so this valley, I want you to see craniums. You call them craniums? I want you to see fibers and tibias. I want you to see, what do you call this bone here? The tibias, the ulna? Come on, nurses, we have some doctors here. What do you call them? Somebody's saying, ooh, I know I'm messing up. But I know this one is called the patella, right? I know this one is called the patellas, and I know these are called the tarsals or the metatarsals. There are about 206 human bones. Is that not correct? Come on, correct me, is that correct? I know Hannah says yes, it is yes. Charity, is that correct? Yeah. Oh, Miss Maruti, is that correct? Mamuruti. 206 bones in a human body. Now I want you to see. Look, I want you to come with me into this valley. Now, when somebody died, and they are just dead, all of them, there is a tendency of the scavengers to come and pack on the dead bodies, some animals, maybe some dogs, some hyenas, trying to pull bones from everywhere. So this was after the moon. I mean, some of you have seen dry bones, right? Now, when you see dry bones, you don't know where the bone that connected with that bone could have gone. A hyena may have rolled it to the end of the valley. And these were many people. And the Bible says that by the Spirit of the Lord, God takes Ezekiel back and forth. Can you imagine the agony? By the way, you need to know the customs of those days. You not even come near. Far much worse for a priest to even come near a dead body. And he is taking him through craniums and skulls and, you know, tibias. And you can see this was a foot or this was a hand bone. And they are scattered everywhere. The Bible says it was full of bones. And Jesus and the Lord speaks to Ezekiel, and he tells him, after he had seen this panorama of people who died, it could have been through death, it could have been through war, it could have been through something. And God speaks to this man, and he says, can these bones live? What would be your answer? Immediately you looked at this situation in your mind without even regarding the ability, the Lord's ability, which is potent and which can do exceedingly and above what you can think. I would think, I don't think so. If I would see a skeleton maybe with a skin on it and I could see maybe the eyes are closed a little bit, I would say, well, I think you can raise the dead. But these are bones I'm seeing like a, I don't even know whether this was a single bone of a finger. I don't even know whether this was a tibia. I don't even know whether this was a patella. I don't know whether this was a metatarsus. Or I don't know whether this was the bone neck, the vertebra. I don't know whether this was the humerus, whatever it is called. I don't even know what it was. So I cannot say that it will live. Look at there. This is how it exactly looked like. Can these bones live? And I hear the question God asking you, what is that vision? What is that dream that you had? You planned everything and everything. When you looked at it, you even forgot about it. By the way, listen, this is very important. Listen, the Lord will always send provision. Listen, the Lord will always send provision to you through things that you indulge in a supernatural way. Okay, you didn't hear that. If God puts you that you need to go to school to take nursing, if God tells you to start practicing and so that you can be a basketballer, if God tells you to do whatever you do so that you can be a financial management controller of some sort, Pursue it. Because eventually, God will use that which he gave you for your provision. Let me tell you, I've trusted God for many big money. But I've never received even somebody from who plays professional football, even calling my phone. Did I deliver somebody? You know, you're just dreaming that somebody will just... Let me tell you, I'm not limiting God's supernatural movement in your life. Because God can just put in a Will Smith or... what is the name of the guy who was a Cowboys? Sister Piri, please help me. I know you know this. The greatest footballer of the Cowboys, who is it? Tony Romo. Hey, I can't forget Tony Romo. No? Oh, God. Oh, my goodness. I'm in trouble. Who is the greatest Cowboys... Emmitt Smith, that's what also says Emmitt Smith. If I would trust God that Emmitt Smith would just for supernaturally know my Bank of America account number and send me some money, I can trust God, but you know what? That's gonna really, really pushing it to the limit. But God will always use things that he has put you in to bring as a source of provision. Look at your career. God can take you far to greater heights, and that job has been a source. God has used that job to be a source of your provision. And he can line you up with divine connections that relate to what you do so that it can bring other things that connect with you. And where are you going? Can you understand what I'm saying? So whatever you're doing, whether it is small, do not despise it. Further it. Push it to the limits, because God might bring somebody while you're doing it. Are you listening to me? So he looked at these dead bones. Can they live? There's a cranium here. So many skulls here. I don't even know whether this was called Josiah or this was a lady. I don't even know whether this was. I don't even know whether this bone belonged to this guy. I don't even know whether this femur belonged to this guy. But I don't know whether this guy, even whether his whole body was consumed by a dog. But God said, prophesy to these bones. Let me tell you, church. Let me tell you, listen to me. Your natural voice, your natural audible voice, when you speak it out of just a natural way, give me a spoon, can you give me a piece of bread? That voice is only heard by your fellow human beings. But things change. Somebody say change. Things turn around. When you place yourself in the position of a child of God and you begin to speak things into the atmosphere, when you put yourself into a position of a child of God and you begin to speak, the things that you think that don't have ears can hear. Oh my God. Pastor, how are you? You're doing okay? Now that is not even hard by this wall. But when I put myself in a position, I'm a child of God. And every word that comes out of me is coated with the favor of God. And everything within me is compacted and pressurized by the anointing of God. When I say that I, in the name of Jesus, I stop the demons that are tormenting you. Let me tell you, the spiritual world have to obey. Because I'm speaking under the anointing. Are you listening to me? And that's what Jesus was speaking to Ezekiel. He told him, listen, you are with me right now. And whatever I want you to do is naturally not possible if you would speak it through your natural voice. But now, because you're with me, glory be to Jesus, because the voice that you speak is not just going to be your voice, but I am going to be imbibed. I am going to be connected. I'm going to be assimilated within that voice. When you speak, something should happen. Glory be to Jesus. That's why when everything is rocking in your home, I wish somebody can listen to me, that when you point and jump and put your position as a child of God and you say this marriage is not going to die, my child is going to be successful, my career is not going to end, something should respond. Something should respond. Glory be to Jesus. And listen, it doesn't matter how complex it is, because right here what you see was a very complex situation, could not be comprehended by a mind of a human being. And the Lord commanded Ezekiel, prophesy. Prophesy to these bones, my God. What is the situation in your life? I bet you to step out and step in the position of authority and begin to prophesy over that situation. You may have put it in the grave long time ago. You may even have put some flowers around the grave. You may have even called some friends to mourn over that situation. But I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, prophesy over this thing. Prophesy from a position of authority. Prophesy as a child of God, and it should respond. It doesn't matter how it looks. It doesn't matter how it is dead. It doesn't matter how long it has died. But it should respond. It should respond. Glory God. My God. My God. My God. I believe there is a word for every situation. There is a word designed for your dead things. There is a word, God, glory. There is a word that is designed for the situation that you've gone through. It may have been 5 years, sister, Carol. It might be 5 years. It might be 10 years. Are you listening to me? It might be even 17 years. I don't know how long it has been. But the Bible says, I'm getting fixing to open up your dead, your graves, and bring your pity cells out, and you'll be alive. Glory be to God. I'm fixing to open up those graves that you've really buried yourselves into. You have dismissed yourself as nothing. You have even said that you cannot sing the Lord's song into a foreign land. Listen, I'm with you. I understand what you're going through. Glory be to God. And the moment he said, prophesy to these bones, the Bible says there was a noise. Glory, I love that part. Oh, there was a what? There was a noise. There was a noise, and I can begin to see the bones that belongs to Mr. Josiah, who was a sergeant in the army. They are coming from the end of the valley, trying to look for a tibia. I can see a skull running over Oshandarabosaka under the instruction of the word of the Lord. Glory be to Jesus. The cranium is looking for my he's coming and finding a tibia. Where do they walk? Let me just go ahead. I'm looking for my partner. I'm looking for my compatriot. Glory be to Jesus. You see what he said? You see how they are saying? This bone is waiting for a tibia to come and pick it up. Maybe another tibia showed up and recognized, oh, you're not my DNA. And I cannot match up with you. How long has the situation been dead? It is so complex, right? When you look at it, it is really dead. You cannot even revive it. But there's nothing God cannot do. I can begin to hear a noise. Glory be to Jesus. And listen, when you've declared a word, and there is noise in your house, there is noise in your life, people might be even scared to come near you. That is okay, because God is in the business of putting everything together. You might still be going through a low point, but there is a noise. And I might knock on your door, and I might hear some noise going on. And I might say, I don't even know what is going on in Ateku's house. I get away, but little do I know that they stood in the position of authority, and they spoke concerning certain things. That's why there is a noise. There is a noise going on. Are you listening to me? Don't worry when you hear about the noise, because the noise is up to something good. The noise is connecting the bone to the bone. The noise is connecting your cranium to the shoulder bone. And the shoulder bone is trying to get connected with the breastbone. And the breastbone is trying to get connected with the vertebra bone. And the vertebra bone is trying to get connected with the hip bone. And the hip bone is trying to look for the femur bone. Glory be to Jesus. And in a little while, the noise will subside. And those who are laughing at you, and those haters who are dismissing you, will look and say, oh God, I thought there was a noise, but I see order beginning to form in that family. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They will be laughing at you. That's how they laughed at Noah. You know, when he had the instructions to rebuild the ark, they were laughing at him. People, let me tell you, people have never changed. They are the same old people.
Yeah, you try to do something good to people, they will never understand you. Oh, it's okay. You don't have to understand me. Yeah, you don't have to understand what's going on. But you know what? I can hear the noise. Glory be to Jesus. Elisha, when he had spoken the word of the Lord, he believed that there was rain. The conception of rain was inside Elisha. Glory be to God. There was rain, and he is sending his servant Gehazi, and he is telling him, go and see if something is up in the air. And he would go there the first time, and Elisha had taken himself, and he had sitting in this form. In a way whereby he had put his knees and his head between his knees, and he was interceding. He saw the rain in his spirit. Glory be to Jesus. And he sent his servant Gehazi, go the second time, and still there was nothing. And he went the fourth time. He went the fifth time. But the seventh time, he came back and he said to Elisha, I see something that is like the hand of man. That was the hand of Elisha that was still pushing it until what he believed was being manifested. Are you listening to me? Until what he believed in his spirit, what he had believed in his heart would come to manifestation. Children of God, there are things that you believed in your heart and you've been crying out to God. My message for you today is keep pushing, keep pushing. Do not give up. People have descended upon you. You almost came to a point where you gave up. But keep pushing, because God sees the effort and he will honor you in due time. Oh my God. I feel this word burning in my spirit. I don't know what to do. I feel it. This is the message the Lord is speaking to us, church. I wish everybody can grasp this, because this is what the Lord has laid in my spirit. And I feel this is the message for the hour. And so these bones flew to every direction. Let me tell you, it was that there was a hyena that swallowed somebody's bone. God's word, when he went into a muscle or whatever, into an organ that, or a bone that was swallowed, it will command that hyena, you stole and ate the bone of so and so. Can you spit it out? I needed to fly to the bone, to the valley of dry bones. Somebody that has stolen your money, it doesn't care how long they have held that money, but God's word will penetrate into their lives. And when it hears, say, prophesy, I don't care who took your money, but God has the ability to get hold of that money and bring it back to you. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Are you listening to me, church? Are you listening to me? I don't care where the hairs and when everything. Now, notice one thing. And I'm just about done. Notice one thing. God, when God says, prophesy to these bones, it is not your business. Listen, it is not your business to know where our divine connections are going to come from. Where am I going to even begin with? Or to think, where is the femur bone going to come from? Because I cannot even tell. I don't even have a laboratory to take these bones to perform a DNA test to know whether these bones, and actually it will be a futile exercise. But when God tells you to do something, just do it. The Lord's word is potent enough to go beyond what your imagination. The word of God is strong enough to go into the hidden crevices which you do not recognize. God's word commanded the bones and they came together. And when the latterings stopped, it was a process. When the skeletons began to form, he spoke and he said, let the tendons now begin to form. Think about it. God is a God of order. You might be declaring something today. Do not be the types of the now generation, the microwave generation. Now, let me tell you this. I do not despise that. When you speak something, it can happen immediately. I'm a strong believer that you can speak a miracle. I've seen people get healed. I've seen blind eyes opened. But also you can declare a thing, and God takes also time to revive that which was dead and bring it back to order. It might take time. God is a God of order. He never just brought, he could have been able to bring the whole human being together within a minute. But see how he does? He brings the skeletons together. And next he says, I am not going to put the skin because I know the skin needs to be attached to something called the tendons and the muscles. And so he puts the muscles and the tendons together. And now the noise is a little bit simmered. And eventually, he clothes the skin to these bodies. And the Bible says, behold a mighty army. Glory be to Jesus. What does an army represent? The Lord spoke to me and he told me that an army represents defenses in your life. So the dead dream that God, that the devil killed, he killed your defenses. When the devil destroys your finances, glory be to Jesus, what he eventually does, he wants to destroy your defenses. And so when you're speaking the word of the Lord, it is imperative that whatever dream God gave you, it was incubated in your spirit of prayer. And so whenever it is hitting a hard rock, continue to persist on it. Because that would be a source of your defense. Did you hear what I said? It was a source of defense. The relationship with your wife is a source of defense. Your career is a source of defense. Your relationship with other people is a source of defense. And it protects you. Hallelujah. Everything that is around you is a source of your defense. And so when everything was done, behold, there was a mighty army. And the Lord now said, prophesy so that the breath of God can come into this slain. So you can revive your dream. You can see your dream being revived. And when you look at it, it is like you had intended originally. In other words, you're going to school and everything is working out well. You're doing the grades and every your children are doing okay. But let me tell you, if you fail to do the last part, it might again go back to what it was. It is formless. It is dead until you speak life into that dream. And so he said, speak life. And until he spoke life, that the four winds of the whole of the earth, four winds of the whole earth came. And when he breathed into them, they became living souls. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? And the Lord said, this is to the natural. This is exactly what is going to happen to the natural Israel. But as it happens, some of you know, thank you, Sister Purity, as you know that these things happen naturally, whatever happens naturally is a representative of our spiritual being too. Are you listening to me? It is a representation of what would happen spiritually. And so this was a message to encourage them. This is a message to encourage you that through every situation that you go through, it might be in a church like ours here, it might be in your marriage, it might be in your individual life, it might be in your people that you relate with, it is an opportunity for God to reveal himself. He creates those situations on your behalf. But sometimes we descend to them. We look at them and we want to run away from them. And when we run away, we run from the very opportunity that God is creating to reveal himself. It is not over until God says it is over. That is the message today. It is not over until God says it is over. Even when it's dead. There's a saying that says, you know what? Oh, whenever there's hope, there's a will, there's hope. But with God, even whatever seemed to be dead, according to you, there is still hope. Even when something has been buried, there is still hope. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Who was Mary and Hannah's brother? Who Jesus rose from the dead? He was dead for how many days? 4 days. And he had rotten inside there, right? But Jesus still came in the fourth day and there was hope. Because Jesus is your first day. Jesus is your last day. Jesus is every day in between. So I dare not move without knowing that I'm standing in the position of authority. Glory be to Jesus. And let me tell you, there are certain things that I've decided that I'm going to declare in my own life. I'm going to declare certain things in my own life. And listen, church, they are going to hear some noise. When you hear some noise in my house, when you hear some noise when you come around me, know that there's some construction going on.
I dare you to declare something out of the position of your authority. When I come near you, I can hear those things trying to tie up the tarmac. People who never know how construction, how roads are constructed in America. If they would come to 635, they would say, what a city in a mess. But let me tell you, wait until about 5 months. You will not believe what this 635 will be. But anybody coming out of stupidity might say, I'll never go to Dallas again. There's a city under go and noise all the time. Go. You cannot even go everywhere because they're go. But I'll tell him, you can leave Dallas, but I'm going to stay here with the noise, because in about 5 months, I'll be zooming my Camry down the highway without anybody hindering me. So if you want to leave Dallas, leave Dallas. If you want to go away from me because I'm so noisy, leave me, please. But I want you to come back in about 4 months. Look how I'm going to look like. You might be looking down on me, but I dare you to come back in just a few months. You will not believe what you'll be looking at. Yes, swinging and all. Because the favor of God, I'll be walking in cloud 9 because of what God has done. Oh, Jesus. Are you listening to me? So when you see my swagger, do not worry about it. Because this is the glory. There was a story behind the story. Oh, glory to Jesus. I'm enjoying the glory. Because when I had the story, you didn't want to come to me. So do not laugh at me. Do not even feel jealous about me. When you see the glory. Because you ran away from me. When I had the story. So I want to be part of your story. So when your glory comes, we can celebrate together. Stand up on your feet in Jesus' name. Glory to Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. High five somebody. Tell them, I want to be part of your story. I want to be part of your story. I want to be part of your story. Because in due season, your glory is going to show up. In due season, you're going to be glorified. Your haters will look at you and they will say, I wish I knew when they were going down the valley. I wish I embraced them. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Lift up your right hand right now. Lift up your right hand. What is it that has been dead in your life? It might be a child. It might be a relationship. It might be whatever it is. It might be your in-laws. It might be your relatives. Your brothers running away from the Lord. Whisper something to the Lord. I want you to stand in the position of your authority as a son of God. Say, I declare right now. You hear right now. Hear the word of the Lord. You situation. Name it. Right now, say after me. You situation. I speak to you right now. I command you under the authority of God that hear the word of the Lord, that you are a dry bone and you are going to live. I prophesy to you to live right now. I prophesy to live right now. My financial situation, I prophesy to you. Hear the word of the Lord. You shall live again. My relationships, I speak to you right now. Even though you might be dying, I command, hear the word of the Lord. Begin to live right now. Begin to live right now. My business has gone astray. It has gone distraught. Every time I attempt to do it, I'm short-circuited. But you business, hear me right now. Hear me right now. Hear me right now. You shall live again. 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 You sickness, you have haunted me for a longer time. You have attached to my mother. You have attacked my father for a long time. But hear the word of the Lord. I prophesy that you shall live again. That you shall live again in the name of Jesus. in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you pray that believing, if you pray that beginning, expect some noise. Expect some noise now. From now on, expect some noise. Things might not make any sense. Things might not make any sense. You might actually be going deeper a little bit. But God will begin to do some work in your life. In the name of Jesus. 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 Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you. Lord, thank you, God, for birthing this word in my spirit. I'm just a conduit. I'm just a pipe that delivers water into the homes of people. Lord, let them they benefit from the water and not from the pipe, God. In the name of Jesus, receive the glory, my Father, because I also need this word. I am a pipe for myself. I need the water that comes out of that pipe. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Whatever plan the devil has mooted, has organized from the kingdom of hell to come and assault the defenses of this your children, oh God, I declare that my God, he will not succeed. He will not succeed. I thwart every plan of the devil. I thwart every plan of every demon, every assignment, every connections. I stand as a man of authority and I declare in the name of Jesus that no plan of the devil is going to succeed over every single one of us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Whether it is their career, I declare success. Whether it is their marriages, I declare success. Their financial situations, I declare success. I declare success in their careers. I declare success in their children. In the name of Jesus. Everything is coming back. Everything is coming back. It is coming back. It is coming back. In the name of Jesus. Oh God. Glory be unto your holy names. This week is going to be the greatest week. There's going to be a lot of noise in our persons, in our homes. But that's okay. When we hear that noise, we know that there are bones flying and looking for each other so that they can get connected. So eventually we'll have a defense in the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Everybody say it, amen. Glory be to Jesus. Can you appreciate?